Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, hour number two, Tuesday edition, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. And if you just tuned us in, you may need to buckle up. There are some wild happenings going on, even for a wild last few years that we have had. You're just starting off with us in hour two. What did you do in hour one with your life? But we've got major breaking news. Andrew Cuomo, patron saint of the Democratic Party, responding to COVID. Remember, they gave him an Emmy? Well, his tenure as New York governor is no more, effective 14 days from now. Just a little over an hour ago, Andrew Cuomo addressing the media, the masses, the nation, the people of the state of New York, announced his resignation. This is what it sounded like.
I love New York, and I love you. And everything I have ever done has been motivated by that love. And I would never want to be unhelpful in any way. And I think that given the circumstances, the best way I can help now is if I step aside and let government get back to governing. And therefore, that's what I'll do. Because I work for you. And doing the right thing is doing the right thing for you. And my resignation will be effective in 14 days.
Apparently, New York doesn't love him. And neither do Democrats in Albany.
So this is where we are, Clay.
This was stunning. I mean, the blockbuster phrase, as we said, is often overused, Buck. But you live in New York. You know how much power Andrew Cuomo has had. I mean, this is a guy who doesn't even have a private residence outside of the governor's mansion. He was planning on running in 2022. I don't think there's any doubt that he saw himself as a viable contender for the White House one day. And certainly there was even talk about Democrats trying to replace Joe Biden with Andrew Cuomo at the last minute. All of this now for the moment up in smoke. And remember, by the way, not only is Andrew Cuomo now gone, one of the original patron saints of the Democratic response to COVID, but a little over a month from now, we have Gavin Newsom in California, another of the COVID patron saints. And if you look at some of that early polling, both of those guys could be in trouble. Now, Cuomo goes down not for his COVID response, although that may have been very well justified, but for the 11 women who have accused him of sexual harassment. What happens now, Buck Sexton?
Look, I'm frustrated because this means that the entire narrative of Cuomo is going to be the Democrat. And when I say the narrative, the Democrat narrative will be that they keep their house in order.
They forced him out.
They forced him out. And while that may be true, it's also true that he should have been forced out over not only the disastrous nursing home decision in April and May of 2020, but the covering up of the disastrous decision intentionally. I mean, we have that on the record. We have proven that. And for someone to, during a health pandemic, lie to the public about life and death matters to prevent the actual workings of our democracy from happening, wherein there can be accountability, Clay, right? Because that's what it was all about, evading accountability for sending people's grandmas, grandpas, moms and dads into nursing homes with COVID and subjecting people to a much higher risk than they should have been by executive order. We have the actual paperwork on this one, right? And then lying about it. And it was so important to Democrats to pretend that they were the great leaders in 2020. The Trump White House was so terrible. They said it was Cuomo who was the anti-Trump of 2020. And what do we see now? That anti-Trump was a fraud and a creep and had to go. But he should have gone long before this report came out.
By the way, we should mention, by the way, Andrew Cuomo is out, and we're reacting to that in real time here. Rand Paul, senator from Kentucky, is going to join us at the top of the next hour to talk about his response, viral response, I would say, to the latest CDC rulings as it pertains to masks, whether you should wear them. I'm going to show up at a school board meeting later today.
You
Buck.
Are the El Capitan of the Lululemon Mom Brigade, but you're a dad.
I am going to be a lot of dads and moms. I'm not going as Clay Travis radio show host. I've got a first grader and a fifth grader, and the county that I am in is having a special school board meeting to discuss whether masks should be mandatory in the school. Kids are already back in school, by the way. They are not wearing masks right now. I am going to argue that there is no scientific basis. I only get 1 minute, by the way, Buck. 1 minute
You're
to speak
a
as a parent. I know. We get 3 hours every day on this show. But so 1 minute to argue against masks. I'm going to go as a parent, not as a radio show host. And by the way, the budget is underway, $3.5 trillion, and the infrastructure bill snowed under. We would have spent a lot of time talking about this as well. Passed in the Senate 69-30, so 19 different Republican senators ended up supporting the Joe Biden-driven infrastructure bill.
There's not enough political will to fight against Santa Claus. When the goodie bag of federal spending is opened up, even Republicans decide, you know what, I might as well get some if everyone's getting some, and very few are willing to say the long-term projections about what it will mean for our economy. Not even that long-term, by the way. I mean, inflation is already kicking in.
That's
now,
right.
And it gets, and the thing about inflation, you look at historically, when it starts to happen, the government always says, oh, it's not going to be that bad. And then it tends to get a lot worse. And then it reaches a point where they say, wow, we're not actually particularly good at trying to control or handle this. You know, let's just hope for the best. I'm very concerned about that. But right now, there's not the political will, nor are there the votes. I mean, I hate it. The truest thing that Obama ever said or is credited with saying is, you know, elections have consequences. And Clay, I hate to be that guy, but we needed to win one of those two Georgia Senate seats.
Yeah, that's what's so frustrating about this is it's not even the presidential election, right? Which is frustrating in its own right. But then you got double Senate races in Georgia. All you have to do is win one out of those two. And I mean, just think about trillions of dollars less are going to be spent. You know, people talk about how much Senate campaigns cost and how much electoral races end up costing. That race, those two races in Georgia, in terms of money being spent, tax increases being passed, all of that, trillions of dollars at stake, and Republicans lost both.
This is also an end run, in a sense, on the system we actually have, because a lot of what is getting included. So we have to remember there's the infrastructure piece and the budget bill, right? These are two separate things. The infrastructure piece that the Republicans have voted for is mostly what you'd consider to be infrastructure, right? In some capacity. There are
yes.
some things about, you know,
it's
broadband,
broadly
internet,
defined, but yes.
It's broadly defined, but a lot of, you know, there is roads and bridges money. And how will it be spent? Will it be efficient? No, it will not be efficient. Will there be tremendous waste, fraud, and abuse? Yes, there will. Okay, we know all of that. But the part of it that should be even more concerning is in this budget bill, which they're going to just push through with reconciliation by really these lawyerly tricks of pretending that anything that touches on the budget can be part of a budget reconciliation maneuver, even if it's a tenuous connection. Things like amnesty. Oh, yeah, well, that means there'll be more people on the welfare roll. So that's a budget issue now. I mean, that's their actual. That's their actual.
That's the argument.
That's the argument they're making. They're trying to legislate without the actual majorities, without the actual will of the people behind them to do it. The Democrats are trying to sneak through their agenda with a razor-thin margin in the House, a 50-50 Senate, and they think now is the time, after we spent, what, $5 trillion deeper into the hole last year, now is the time to pass not only an enormous spending package, but tremendous tax increases, all kinds of regulation. I mean, Clay, this bill is thousands of pages. We're going to have to go through this thing and look into it in detail to see what's really in there. But what it just becomes is a Trojan horse for the leftist agenda of the Democrats that's hidden in the actual pages of a bill that nobody's going to read that they call spending.
And by the way, it's also set up to be retroactive, which I can't believe more people aren't talking about, which means that whatever tax you are paying in 2020, it isn't going to be the tax that you, sorry, the tax you're paying in 2021. You don't even know what it is yet, right? For everybody out there who runs businesses, and is trying to figure out, hey, what is our budget going to be? What's our cost structure going to be? Who can we hire? What can we afford? You don't even know what your tax rates are going to be on a corporate tax level. If you have capital gains, let's say you're selling a home like a lot of people are out there, you don't know what your capital gains cost basis are going to be, what sort of dollars you are going to owe. I mean, it's madness. And speaking of madness, by the way, we've been talking about this Andrew Cuomo news. I put up a poll question. 10,000 of you have voted in the first 20 minutes. Do you think Andrew Cuomo will ever run for political office again? Yesterday or the day before, I think it was yesterday, I floated, Buck, the idea that, to me, what politicians, the only thing they care about is their electoral viability, right? Basically, whatever makes it more likely that they can have power, that they can win election, they're going to do. And I felt like Andrew Cuomo was getting painted into a corner and that he might resign, not to ride off into the sunset and be done, but that he was going to come back and run again, potentially against Letitia James, the woman who tried, conducted this investigation as the New York Attorney General, and they might go head to head. Right now, 63% of you think Andrew Cuomo will never run for political office again. 37% of you think he will. I think he will. Do you think he'll run again, Buck?
No.
You think he's done?
I think I'll have to hedge this insofar as saying he will never win again. Would he run again? I don't think so, but I don't think that's... I wouldn't put that in my view of absolute crazy town, but could he win statewide in New York again? I mean, like, could Elliot Spitzer win statewide in New York after he, you know, no, that guy was toast and his political career was over forever. Although CNN did hire him and give him a show. It was a very bad show. But then again, so are pretty much all shows at CNN.
But think about Bill Clinton. I know Bill Clinton didn't resign, but if Bill Clinton could have run for office again in 2000, I think he would have won. Even with the Monica Lewinsky intern scandal, yeah. Even with lying under oath.
But the resignation is, it's a little bit like an admission of guilt in politics. I mean, he can say it's not, but first, there was no way, and we'll come back into this, there was no way his first speech was an I'm going to resign speech. No way. We heard it. We saw it.
Last week, 100%. Yeah, he was going to fight. Yes.
So clearly, he thought something that he could dig in then. And win. And it was the Democrats in the State House in New York who weren't just saying, because, you know, oftentimes the game is you say, oh, so-and-so has to resign. And then a couple of weeks passed and it's like, meh, he's doing a good job. We'll let it go. They weren't willing to do that this time. I'd be fascinated. And Clay, I'll be making calls and reaching out to sources to try to find out what was it really like? Why did they decide that this thing this time? Remember, sending your grandma to nursing home to die? Not enough for Democrats in the state of New York.
They even lifted the DOJ investigation
on
that. Right.
Not enough for them to get so exercised about it that they would impeach him over it. By the way, I find that
way
more impeachable, which is the other part of this why I feel like I'm living in the crazy world here, my friend, but it is American politics. So we'll come back into this in just a moment. Plus, we do have Rand Paul joining us, top of the third hour, all things COVID, the mask mandates. Fauci wants vaccine mandates. I swear, I hate Fauci more with every passing day, but we'll talk about it. If we've learned anything since 2020, it's that there's nothing quite as important these days as keeping your immune system as strong as you can. That's why over 20 years ago, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood. It's the original superfood. I've known Dr. Black for years, and he hooked me up with Texas Superfood. It's a game changer. 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables. Plus probiotic and digestive enzymes. I mean, your GI tract is so important. You really got to tend to it. And you can build your body's defense from the inside out. Your grandmother told you you got to eat fruits and veggies. You know it's true. But with busy schedules and fast food, a lot of people don't get to it. That's why you need Texas Superfood. It's the safety net for the American diet. If you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and vegetables every day, Texas Superfood was made for you. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's TexasSuperfood.com/buck, 855-TEXAS-55.
You're exactly right. That's the position we should take. Unfortunately, some senators, Republican senators, chose to go along with this so-called infrastructure bill. I mean, Marie, when have you ever seen an infrastructure bill that had the word equity in it over 60 times? That tells you this $1.2 trillion or whatever it is not really infrastructure. And now we got the 3.5 or whatever that's going to be coming after. Again, this is all part of the Democrats' ridiculous economic plan. Here's their economic plan. Lock down your economy, spend like crazy, pay people not to work. And oh, by the way, for all you Americans who've been working hard, we're going to raise your taxes. Those are four stupid ideas. That's the crazy economic plan. And the idea that you had Republican senators go along with some of this makes no sense to me.
Jim Jordan with a double leg takedown and a half Nelson of the Democrat spending
well done.
Spree. Thank you. Thank you. I did a little wrestling back in the day.
Did you really?
Oh, I did. Yeah. Yeah, actually. I was pretty good, for whatever it's worth. Welcome to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Waiting for you to upset our wrestling fans.
No,
like you did our soccer fans, played, Travis.
You did soccer. I knew. I didn't know you did wrestling too.
Did a little boxing. Did a little wrestling. You know, gotta be able to deal with the commies
boxing
when they get a little out of line
in school.
No, I was at a program called Saturday Morning Boys in New York City, the New York Athletic Club.
Yeah, we've got. We actually do that. My wife, you know, has a pro boxing fight to her credit.
That's
or
amazing.
An amateur
by the
boxing
way. Does
fight.
That ever like? Does that ever creep up in the back of your mind when she's like, "Hey, like, we're going to this restaurant." You're like, "My wife can really throw a punch, so I'm just
yeah,
going to
go
with
she's
it."
She's 1-0. She won her fight. Now she's 5'2", you know, 105 pounds. Probably. I mean, that's a rough approximation.
I will tell you that the true athlete of the Sexton family is my mother, Mrs. Sexton, who was a professional ballet dancer at one of the top companies in the country.
That's a pretty big deal.
Pound for pound, gymnasts and ballet dancers among the strongest people you'll ever find. They actually studied this. Yeah,
no doubt. That is props to Mrs. Sexton. I didn't know that. So we actually have a boxing trainer that we work out with twice a week. So I go like this early this morning. I did 7 rounds.
Is it like Tai Bo, or do you guys actually hit the bags? You don't know.
No,
I mean?
It's boxing. It's. I mean, this is a professional boxing trainer. So I mean, I'm not getting hit back. So it's not like I'm sparring, which is
yeah.
I'm throwing punches.
That's the one thing about boxing that I learned the hard way is you can enjoy other sports when you lose. Like I've lost, basketball games.
Yes.
I've played in tennis matches, and you're like. Good,
That was a good experience.
It was a good experience. Yeah. We fought hard. You lose in boxing, and you're like, I don't know if I want to do this again. Like, that wasn't cool. That wasn't fun.
It's also, I mean, there's something definitely crystallizing about somebody being able to hit you.
And when you're tired, by the way, you're already tired, and then you're getting hit. Same thing's true in wrestling, though. If you get slammed to the canvas, which is also happening. I guess it's not really canvas, but you get what I mean. That's in the WWE. To the mat. There we go. But Clay, I wanted to bring us in with the Jim Jordan comment, just because, it's amazing. Democrats, it's 50-50 in the Senate. It's a tiny majority in the House. Joe Biden, it just feels like this guy is barely even there. And they know how to work the system. They know every trick in the book. And that's what they're doing right now with this massive spending bill. They're getting through their agenda just using the power of the purse instead of actual legislation. Let's come back into this in a second because that's where we are. Speaking of power of the purse, what about your purse? I mean, who's watching your money? You know the federal government's not, unless they're going to tax you for it. Your financial advisor is certainly not caring a lot about what happens to your money. Many Wall Street insiders are predicting a correction is ahead, so it's your choice. You can listen to the same old excuses from your financial advisor or subscribe right now to Carnivore Trading and see why their picks have become legendary. Carnivore levels the playing field, delivering in real time what their experienced traders are thinking right now. Now all of us, from newbies to experienced traders, have access to their explosive trades. And for the first time, Carnivore will let you try their service for free. This is your chance to see and mirror Carnivore's explosive trades in real time for free, no obligation. Go to getourtrades.com and use promo code USA. That's getourtrades.com, promo code USA. Carnivore Trading, real trades, real time. See website for terms and conditions. Past performance, not a guarantee of future earnings.
Again, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Just another quiet little August, mid-summer, late summer day. Expecting to slide in to be talking about primarily infrastructure, COVID, the usual subjects, and then, boom, bombshell, literally as we're coming on the air, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, the patron saint of the Democratic response to COVID, even though the disaster with, that happened with the nursing homes kind of gets overlooked by Democrats. Got a special Emmy. Well, I don't know if he'll get a new Emmy for this or not, but he resigned. And in 14 days, he will officially be out of office. And remember, we've got the potential of Gavin Newsom being recalled in a little over a month in California. Can you imagine, Buck Sexton, if we ended up with the two patron saints of the Democratic response to COVID, Andrew Cuomo now gone and Gavin Newsom potentially gone as well?
I mean, I think that Fauci is the Pope and these are his archbishops, right?
He can't get rid of him because he's not elected.
And maybe Fauci's not even a patron saint. I think libs actually believe Fauci is God now. So, yeah, so they've completely lost their minds.
The Holy Ghost and the Son and everything else rolled into one.
But, you know, there's also a part of me that, you know, I'm a little disappointed in Cuomo as the bad guy here. I mean, I kind of thought he wanted it to drag on.
I
thought he was going to go out like Tony Montana in Scarface. You know what I mean? I thought it was going to be him in the mansion with all the guys coming, and he's like, I'm going down fighting. By the way, still a great movie. Very violent.
It is a great movie
to this day. And he must have thought that he could rally allies in the state legislature, didn't have them, and realized that it was a doomed, because I do believe that if he thought there was any chance he could survive an impeachment, he would have gone. I don't think he's trying to, you know, his whole thing in the speech was, oh, I'm trying to prevent New York from being dragged into, you know, no. I think his thing was, I can't win this fight, so what's the point? If he had any belief that he was going to come out, I think he would have been willing to go to the mattresses on it, but he absolutely did not. And it was also just a crazy moment of political theater to be defending yourself. I mean, imagine if Bill Clinton had been, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, but I'm not president anymore. I'm done. You would have been like, what? I mean, that's basically what Cuomo did, right? It's like, I didn't do it. I'm not a bad guy, but I'm actually going to step down. So that's.
And I think what's happening here, Buck, and I think you're going to eventually come around on this, because it seems like as you're kind of processing it, I think this is about maintaining his political viability.
Okay, we're going to have to place a bet on this.
Only way. What is a good bet here?
I mean, fancy barbecue in Nashville versus fancy barbecue in Brooklyn in New York, and you know, meal on me, because maybe he kind of thinks about running, but even when Anthony Weiner was running, everyone thought it was gross. And it was, you know, when he was running for mayor of New York after he had resigned from his congressional seat. I just don't see
who's the biggest comeback kid of all time modern era in politics.
Well, I mean, you could go to,
Clinton, obviously,
Grover Cleveland, right? He came back after losing.
Oh, yeah. And modern era. I mean, somebody who would be alive that we would be able to point to. And, like, they went out in some way in a scandalous fashion. I think Clinton is probably the closest.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Clinton brand somehow managed to get much wealthier, much bigger, and much more corrupt, even after the debacle of Clinton's actual time in office.
Monica Lewinsky and everything else that went on there. I mean, he managed to fight his way through. But in terms of somebody that everybody just totally wrote off, I mean, Nixon, when he lost the first time, you know, people said, oh, Nixon is done, when he lost to Kennedy. And then he managed to go out and come back and get reelected in, what, 68, right? Or get elected in 68 and then reelected in 72.
I mean, you gotta say, as grotesque as it is, it's amazing that Ralph Northam is still the governor of Virginia, given how that whole thing went down.
That's pretty wild.
That's just crazy.
He's a one-termer. And we talked about that a little bit. It is just perfect political theater that all three of the top people in Virginia who were Democrats were going to have to resign, which would have gotten a Republican in. Because I think if that hadn't been the case, they probably would have chopped each of those guys down.
And I still think the best story there was that number three, Mark Herring, initially called for the governor Northam to resign over the blackface /Ku Klux Klan. I'm not sure which one it was. And then Herring had to be like, well, actually, I've got my own little issue with, you know, a blackface thing in my past, which the Fed. So basically it was the Democrats looking at this and realizing We're going to have the Republican, a Republican from the legislature taking over. It would almost be like Nancy Pelosi becoming president. Like that's kind of the chain of succession they were going to have in the Virginia State House. And so all of a sudden it was, I guess we're just going to sort of pretend like this all cancels each other out or something. I mean, it was insane.
Remember Northam too. Not only did he have the picture in like the medical school yearbook or whatever that was, he also had put on blackface and pretended to be Michael Jackson, I think it was, back in the day.
I mean, like, you're also leaving out the liberals.
Breakdancing.
Probably the liberals' favorite politician outside of the U.S. on planet Earth.
Oh, Justin Trudeau.
Justin Trudeau of Canada, who seemed to think that every party he went to, he had to darken his skin. Like, this was his thing for a while. But
that wasn't even that long ago. That was like the 90s. He went as Aladdin. And by the way, do you really have to darken your skin to go as Aladdin?
I mean,
like, wouldn't
Clay,
most people recognize you?
This is why if you walk around with a T-shirt on that says male feminist, you're not going to get a lot of dates, but you are going to get a lot of political protection and cover. You know what I mean?
Those pictures were unbelievable of Justin Trudeau.
It was wild, the whole thing. We had quite a day here with the Cuomo situation and circumstance. I also think we're having quite a day, Clay, with where we are on vaccine mandates and how Dr. Fauci, who, as you know, I like to think I'm like the original anti-Fauciite. And here he is. Here he is on the mandates saying that, you know what, I'm just going all in. We need, because we got Rand Paul joining us in a little bit. We'll talk about this. Here's Fauci saying we got to have actual vaccine mandates.
We have the tools to stop this. And that's the thing that's so painful and frustrating. We have 615 and more thousand people in this country that died from this. We have to take this seriously. So when you hear people saying, well, I don't really want to be told to get vaccinated, you know, I can understand the need for people's personal liberties, but this is a very unusual time in our history. And that's the reason why we've got to do unusual things. And that means use whatever means possible to get people vaccinated.
Whatever it takes, Clay. That's what he said.
Did you see the numbers, by the way, $2, that they double counted the number of positive cases in Florida accidentally?
Yeah.
How does that happen 18 months in, by the CDC blew it, by the way. How does that still happen?
It feels like it would only happen in Florida somehow, right? I mean, this is kind of the, I know they'd say it's just a mistake, but I believe that, you know, people would see a number that, because remember the news story was, Clay, think about this for a second. Florida, CDC is looking at numbers, the people that are compounding this all day.
That's right.
The highest caseload they've ever had.
That's right.
That was believable. It's only believable if you're out there believing that Florida is like the COVID death trap of the world, which is just not true. It
not
hasn't been true all along.
Yes.
But Democrats are obsessed. Oh, and that also brings
They're trying to take down DeSantis by any means necessary.
Now we're starting to see the so-called think pieces and the editorials on how, okay, maybe Democrats said that Trump was worse than Hitler. But DeSantis is worse than Hitler. You're already seeing this roll out. And you look at this, you say, is there anything that's just too absurd for the Democrat-aligned media at this point? I mean, they're really going to pretend that Ron DeSantis is such a bad guy. The answer is yes, by the way, because he threatens.
Well,
I mean, Ron DeSantis
terrified.
Against Joe Biden. That's not if I'm a Democrat,
it's
I don't like that
fight.
Contest.
They're terrified because DeSantis, in many ways, gets to the same results as Trump. But he's not as much of a bull in a china shop to get there. And that scares Democrats because they couldn't really attack a lot of Trump's final results, but they attacked oftentimes the process by which he got there as much or
but
more.
But as you know, a lot of Trump voters, they like that the bull
they
would,
like the bull
would crack
in the china
that china.
Shop. They like just fighting.
They
but I think that DeSantis would fight too, but that's why next year's Florida gubernatorial race, Democrats are looking at that as their opportunity to knock DeSantis out for 24.
It's still amazing.
Because if he wins, he's one of the most viable candidates.
That Andrew Gillum was almost the governor of Florida. As we've discussed.
It was terrifying.
We've got the Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky joining us at the top of the third hour. So that'll be in just about, that'll be around 2:05 Eastern. So he'll be with us then talking about all this and more. Plus, Clay, I do want to get to the January 6th decisions that have come down here with some judges. There's one judge saying we got to stop over punishing people. Another judge saying we're punishing them not enough. So we should get into some of the politics with all this. But I just went through this process. I just did on a home, Clay, a title transfer. And it's once you go through it, you say, hold on. So I just print this off. I sign it. And then it's a little bit of paperwork. You file it. And now the home title is shifted. The answer is yes. That's how this goes. Home title fraud is the FBI's most concerning, they're saying these days, growth area for cybercrime. And it's why I use Home Title Lock to protect my home. Because, Clay, as you know, the documents to our homes are stored in the cloud, and that is where the cyber thief finds it.
No doubt. And what can you do to protect yourself? Well, for just pennies a day, Home Title Lock will secure your home's title and back it with $1 million guarantee. Register your address now to see if you're already a victim, and you'll get 30 days free when you call 800-708-LOCK. That's 800-708-LOCK, 800-708-LOCK.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck, and wow, today, quite a day.
What a day.
Breaking news right at the very top of the show that the governor, soon to be former governor of New York, as of 14 days from today, resigning, Governor Andrew Cuomo. And now Clay and I are designing a bet about, you know, fancy, not that barbecue is going to be that fancy, but who's gonna buy who dinner based on whether Cuomo actually runs again. We'll hammer the details out by the end of the show. But in the meantime, we do have Senator Rand Paul, who will be joining us here in just a few minutes. I mean, maybe the only person who I will easily concede is I don't know if he finds Fauci more annoying than I do. That's tough. That would be hard. But has certainly been able to stand up to Fauci in a public forum in a way that nobody else has and nobody else has been willing to. And this is taken off of YouTube as of this morning. But here's Senator Rand Paul saying, when it comes to these mandates and lockdowns and all the rest of it, it is time for resistance.
It's time for us to resist. They can't arrest all of us. They can't keep all of your kids home from school. They can't keep every government building closed, although I've got a long list of ones they might keep closed or might ought to keep closed. We don't have to accept the mandates, lockdowns, and harmful policies of the petty tyrants and bureaucrats. We can simply say no, not again.
I like where his head's at, Clay.
Amen.
And you're going to this school board meeting tomorrow in your own community.
Tonight.
Yeah, and you'll talk to us about it tomorrow. But you know, this is going to be tough in a lot of places because there are those who this is only possible because there are enablers and petty tyrant enforcers out there among us. Not even people who work for the government. Places like New York, man, I'm getting now. Oh, put your mask on. I mean, you know, it's growing like a plague of the mind all over the place now.
How wild is it too, by the way, Buck? You just played that clip, and as part of that, you said, hey, this has been banned from YouTube, that we are just like, oh yeah, his opinion about how to respond to a CDC recommendation is not allowed to be distributed on YouTube. An elected senator in the United States. You just heard that clip. You're going to hear him talk with us in the next segment. But we're so used now to big tech censorship that I think a lot of people heard, oh, that's been banned from YouTube. And you just kind of nod your head. That's how outlandish and outrageous this behavior has become when it comes to COVID and big tech.
Let's see what Stephanie in Kentucky has to say about all this. Stephanie, welcome to Clay and Buck Show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to first talk about going back to what you were talking about before the last commercial about political comebacks. I think one that I don't think you mentioned, but that definitely bears mentioning, is our current president. I was born in 1985, so I obviously don't remember when he first kind of got into trouble with plagiarism and those sorts of things. But, you know, to my understanding, that was kind of a big deal and the sort of thing that you would think would maybe end a career. But it just goes to show that if you hang on long enough, people will forget or kind of write it off, and here he is, our president.
Stephanie, I think great call, as in calling in, but also great call in the general sense of you're totally correct. Thank you so much.
Not only that,
Clay, Joe Biden has run three times, and he was, I remember in 2008, going to like a third-tier presidential candidate forum, and he was there with like Kucinich, and I mean, he was the bottom of the Democrat barrel. and yet somehow then became Obama's VP and now somehow has become the president. It is a remarkable story. I mean, it's embarrassing for the country, but it is a remarkable story.
Not even going back to 88 and the plagiarism scandal, which is a good recall by Stephanie, but just leaving New Hampshire in disgrace when he got absolutely trounced in Iowa and in New Hampshire, and he basically put his entire campaign on the question of whether or not he could resurrect it in South Carolina. Remember, I mean, everybody was saying Joe Biden was finished until Clyburn gave him the endorsement in South Carolina, and basically Bernie got trounced there. Because up to that point, it was looking like Joe Biden had absolutely no hope. I mean, he left in as much disgrace out of New Hampshire as you possibly could. He got trounced in Iowa, and then everything changed for him. And then not only that, he also got to run his entire campaign from the basement. You know, if he'd had to be out on the hustings, yeah, if he'd had to be out like speaking on a day-to-day basis, I don't think there's any way he would have won.
Some of the biggest names in conservative media, I remember early on in the Democrat primary, were just the consensus opinion. I remember who was saying it too. I won't name check anybody now. Was, I mean, it's not going to be Joe Biden. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that was right. A widespread sentiment. So just goes to show, this is why political predictions, and even when people start talking about polls, you know, it's a lot of reading the tea leaves. And if you've ever actually seen someone read tea leaves, you know why we call it that, because you're not actually figuring out really much of anything. You got to just see how things actually play out. But we do have Senator Rand Paul joining us here in just a few minutes to talk about his idea that we should resist. And, you know, Clay, this could escalate very quickly for people, right? It's one thing, what I've advocated for is to go in, which is what I do. I don't wear a mask. You can tell me I have to put on a mask or leave, and then I'll do it because I need to buy detergent or milk or whatever. And I'm not a one man anti-COVID, although I guess we are kind of a two man anti-COVID army here, but you know what I mean? And, you know, there's that. But then if that's not enough and the mandates keep coming, do people start saying, all right, well, you're going to have to call the cops and I'm going to get arrested over that? I mean, do people start going real civil disobedience over this?
Well, I mean, just think about how crazy it is. You can't hear Rand Paul on YouTube. This is why radio and our ability to speak directly to all of you is so powerful on so many different levels. So we're appreciative for being able to bring Rand Paul to you. And to speaking of the civil disobedience aspect, I mean, I'm going to a school board meeting, which is the very essence of democracy, and arguing that the kids in my neighborhood need to be able to go to school without wearing masks.
Rand
Paul,
we're going to
talk about Rand Paul and more next.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.